Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast System episode 59 with myself, Matthew Gibson, and joining me as always, we have Jack Gorn.
Hello, how are we doing?
We're doing good, I hope. just another bog standard episode.
Bag standard. We got just a new term, just made up, just for the pod.
Yeah. After a whole month, we are really sticking to the bi-weekly formula very well.
Yeah, this makes a change, because normally it's like a month.
It has been almost a month since the last one. It's been like 3 weeks. Hold on. So like the last episode was on the 20th of last month. So that's like just in another week.
That's nearly a month ago.
Yeah. That's not good, but we're here again, so we hope you enjoy. Anyway.
Consistency.
We've got, I think last time we didn't really have that much news, but this time we are going to have a pretty chunky news section this time, especially because I'm going to ramble on about one particular thing, but we'll get to that when we get to there. So of course our highlights are the new Detective Pikachu trailer starring Ryan Reynolds. The Game Awards nominations. The Game Awards are, of course, going to be on December 7th for us, very early in the morning for us. And Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Pretty much almost everything we know about the game has been revealed through the recent direct. So, of course, we're going to talk about that and a lot more. And we've got our general what we've been playing and shout-outs/questions.
We've got some questions. Yay!
We've got one question. Well, I think we've got a couple, but like one will be integrated into a Smash section anyway.
Yay!
Still, questions. That's something.
Thank you for the questions.
This is kind of embarrassing, but I am choosing the music this week, but I can't remember. Well, I don't even know what the intro music is going to be.
Oh, no.
Hold on, when was the last time? It's the last time, I believe the last time I chose the music.
I have no idea. Rich was on, so he chose.
Yeah, so that was last week, but the last time I chose was all the way back in July.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah, the last time you chose was 3 episodes ago? Episode 56. God damn.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because we had Oli on before Rich, didn't we? So he must have chose them. It's your choice to choose the intro and the transition and the ending music.
So I'm going to give some love to Xenoblade Chronicles 2, because it seems like Jeff Keighley and the Game Awards don't want to give any love to that. So I'm going to go with the battle theme from the very good Tournament expansion from that game.
Not even Sakurai wants to give it love.
Sakurai has given it love, man. I think we got the music and we got the Mii costume. If Xenoblade 2 released maybe a year earlier or whatever, Rex would have been in. Rex would have been in, and we'll get into this later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Rex still has a chance as DLC. Anyway. Let us move on to... Do we have anything else we need to say? Oh! We finally passed 100 subscribers on YouTube after...
We did!
Three and a half years.
We're on 102! 102! Yay! Thank you everyone who has subscribed to the YouTube channel. Thank you also to everyone who subscribes to the actual podcast on Podomatic and iTunes and Google Play and... all the other places.
What Jack said.
Thank you. But what are we going to do for 100 subscribers? Are we going to do anything?
They have our thanks. There's not really anything.
If
we make it to 1,000, then we'll do a proper giveaway. But that will never happen, so maybe at 200. Who knows? But yeah, just again, thank you so much for subscribing to us on YouTube, as well as supporting us across all of our platforms as well.
While we're here, if you're on iTunes and you've got the capabilities, please leave a review, because we haven't had a review for like ages, so that'd be cool. And then we might actually get into the ratings and might get more people listening to us, which would be lovely. And then we can share our thoughts in actual getting questions.
That would be ideal.
Yes.
Cool.
Shall we head on to the news?
Cool stuff. Right, so with that, let's move on to the next section. So this is the news section. As I mentioned before, we've got a pretty beefy news things to go up from the past month. So first of all, we are going to be a bit of celebrating. Nintendo had their financial briefing for the second quarter of their fiscal year, which is due to end in March 2019. So of course, some of the highlights was that for the past 6 months, so I believe it will be from the start of April of this year to the end of September this year, the Switch has sold just over 5 million units, which pushes it up now to 22 million units sold across its lifetime, which means the Switch has officially outsold the GameCube.
I know, I saw this. It's crazy.
That's pretty great.
It's done really well, mm-hmm. Definitely. I think... Aren't they slightly behind what their like target is for the whole year?
So they predicted 20 million, which I think is a bit too ambitious. But given that we haven't really had any proper hard-driven games yet in the same vein as Mario Odyssey, Splatoon 2, or Zelda...
I don't know. You had like Mario Tennis Mario Party.
Mario Tennis ain't like getting the critical reception and... says reception as highly, I feel.
Yeah.
Like Zelda Breath of the Wild was like iconic. Was greatly received. Same thing for Mario Odyssey. This year we do have Pokemon, which is just said by itself, regardless of what the critics say.
Smash Bros.
And then of course Smash Brothers, which is December 7th. So I think they still have a chance. Oh, and then we got the Mario 2D pack. In January as well, so I'm sure that will sell a lot of units.
Yeah, because they've actually got four new console bundles, haven't they, now, because of that. They've got the Fortnite one as well, with those other games mentioned. So they really are going to push for those sales coming up to Christmas now, and I think they got a good chance of hitting their target, but I don't think it might be like somewhere... not that far off of it.
There's still a chance. I'll say that. But not holding out too much as of yet. Let me see. So, some of the highlights. If I find this thing again. Oh, no. I'll just say. So, Mario Tennis Aces, as you mentioned, was probably one of the biggest titles to come out in the last 6 months from Nintendo. That has sold over 2 million copies already since June, so in about just over 3 months, it's sold 2 million, which is pretty good going for a Mario Tennis game. Looking at the graphs, is selling quicker than Mario Power Tennis, which was on the Wii.
Isn't it like the highest selling tennis game they've ever had?
Well, I'd say since Mario Tennis... reading. Pretty much the only tennis series they have.
Well, probably. They've had a few games for every console, and from what I saw, it was like, here we go, it sold basically double their last like tennis game, which sold really well, which was like the Wii, I believe.
Are we looking at the series sell through?
That's it,
So it's pretty much just selling quicker. Much quicker than previous titles, so probably will sell better than the original and the one on GameCube. Who knows?
It's still a phenomenal number though for that game.
Looking at the top 10 best-selling games on the Switch, Super Mario Odyssey still reigns supreme at 12 million units. And then Mario Kart 8 Deluxe follows shortly after that with 11 million, which has now so it's sold more than its Wii U original. What else do we have here? Breath of the Wild has finally gone over 10 million units sold for the Switch. And then Splatoon 2 is the next one at fourth place with just under 7.5 million. So expect after Christmas that may get up to 8 million. Then there's a big gap. The next one after that is 1-2 Switch. That's at 2.64 million units sold. Then from there's Mario Tennis Aces. ARMS has sold over 2 million, which I'm quite happy with, especially since it's a new IP. Kirby Star Allies has also sold 2.10 million, which is, I believe that's also very good for a Kirby game as well. I think that's been the fastest selling Kirby game. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, the port of the Wii U game, has sold 1.6 million. And Xenoblade Chronicles,
that's quite amazing.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2, despite being fairly niche, I'd say, within the whole gaming sphere in general, has sold 1.53 million units, which I think is quite impressive for a game of that standard. And also Octopath Traveler, whilst not mentioned on the list, it has sold at least 1 million units.
That's crazy, the amount of sales.
This has not necessarily been a bad year for Switch, but for me personally, it hasn't been as exciting. Granted, I don't really have the money to buy the games anyway.
Well, you've got a choice of over 1,300 titles from over 500 companies as well now.
As I said,
so...
I don't have the money. but it's more like... there are good games. It's just games that I've just not very been interested in terms of the Nintendo first-party stuff. In terms of first-party stuff, I haven't been too interested, but in terms of third-party stuff, like indies, there's been a lot, and like, you know what, I do want to get there eventually, like Hollow Knight.
Story, Overcooked 2, Undertale, Stardew Valley, there's been some fantastic indie games on there.
Oh yeah.
There's even more coming as well. The last couple of days they announced that there's Five Nights at Freddy's, the whole series is coming to Switch as well.
That was quite surprising, actually.
Yeah.
Also, they mentioned about Super Mario Party, so they gave... so in just a month, Super Mario Party sold over 1.5 million units. In just a month.
Yeah, that's quite impressive how short a period that has been as well. Like, literally a month.
which I'm quite happy with, because, like, I mean... You know, I think the reception have been more positive than negative in comparison.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it is. I mean, the only real criticism coming through is the lack of boards kind of thing is the main issue. But then you look at it like you've got two different type of game modes to play. You've basically got the four boards you can play in two different modes. You've got eight boards effectively. But it's one of those. It's like it's. Overall, it's a great game. Don't get me wrong, and it's really fun multiplayer wise. But to sell that many in that in a month is a real good
indicator,
especially for Mario Party itself. I don't think that series has sold as much as
sure that'll set records for some franchise as well.
Let me look into this, but yeah, that's cool.
I think that's the main gist of it. At least, they're just mentioning other stuff as well. They are apparently still looking to promote the 3DS. Saying that though, I'm not sure if it's been in the last quarter or in the last half of the fiscal year. But apparently the hardware unit sale was 1 million.
Right.
Which shows that it is dwindling. It's still there. But I hope they're not going to continue supporting it too long. Because now that Pokemon is on the Switch, you don't really have too many killer apps anymore.
True.
On 3DS.
other than Luigi's Mansion 2. Well, sorry, Luigi's Mansion 1 being remade. That's about the only game.
But even with that, we gained Luigi's Mansion 3 on Switch.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, like, even looking at 3DS from this year, the only big releases you got were Detective Pikachu, Mario Gold, and Luigi's Mansion.
Hmm.
So you've only had big three games for the system across the year. So I can see, like, them being, like, slightly supported across 2019. You know, I am looking forward to the Bowser's Inside Story remake, to be honest.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I'll go back again just to play the titles, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't want them to promote new titles too much. I just like them focusing, like, the abundant titles they already have.
I just got the sales totals for Super Mario Party and the other in comparison to the other Mario Parties.
Mm-hmm.
The GameCube's Mario Party 6, we've got 1.63 sales in total, so it's basically nearly beat the GameCube Mario Party straight away. but the highest selling one was on the DS.
Huh.
Mario Party DS. Guess how many millions that sold, Matt? Any guesses?
I'm going to say 4 million.
Double it. 9.31 million.
That's not precise double, but I'll just go along with you and say yes.
Yeah.
Christ, I think... Maybe.
Mario Party 8 was 8.85 million, just to put that into...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Compared to the main series. But every other Mario Party game's not sold more than 3 million.
I'd say
so.
Mario Party could be, by the end... I don't know, because Mario Party hasn't even been out for 2 months yet.
Super Mario Party has been out for a month and got 1.5 million.
But I wonder if that's going to slow down. That's the thing.
After Christmas, I reckon they're going to be at least 5 million. That's going to be crazy.
I'd say... I'd probably agree with that, to be honest.
Yeah, she's about right.
Maybe a bit lower, yeah. Especially after Christmas, I think that'd be a good hot title. Especially because it's Mario.
Because it's still a fresh game, there's a lot of people who might be waiting until Christmas to pick it up anyway. So, especially if you're just going to get a Switch at this sort of period, you're going to likely pick up one of, like, Breath of the Wild or Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
But if you get a bundle, get another game with it as well, maybe you want to get extra game. I think Mario Party is a good game to pick up with bundles. If not Splatoon, you know.
So all in all, Switch is still being a success. It's already
it's
much
good.
More lively, I feel, than the Wii U.
To say it's outsold the GameCube
already
in its entire existence.
And Switch is already 2 years old.
Yeah, I mean, how far will the Switch actually go, and will they? How long is it going to keep it out as an actual main console? Now is the question, isn't it? Because Nintendo famously not had that many years with one console for a while since the Wii, basically. But it's like the Wii was a good few years, but that was like just because it was a phenomenal success in terms of sales. So it's an interesting one whether they're going to keep up for another 2-3 years or maybe longer. But we have to see now, won't we? But very interesting. So in terms of, like, sales, like, all software-wise, was there anything that, like, really surprised you in seeing all those, like, graphs and charts and financial tidbits?
anything that stuck out to me?
Yeah, in particular. I'm just curious.
Not really. They're just small graphs, really, just showing the light switch has just been pretty great, especially with the evergreen titles. So that's Splatoon 2.
Yes, this word come up a few times, evergreen, in a few titles all over. I think the Mario on the mobile game, what was that called now? I can't remember what it's called now, the Mario Jump one, whatever it is. That's been called an evergreen title from now on, the fact that they're going to keep adding more content to it continually.
Wait, which one is this?
And now the Mario mobile game.
Super Mario Run,
that's it, sorry. They're saying that's going to be an evergreen title, which they're going to keep putting content on because they keep getting more and more downloads of that game at the moment, which is very strange. But like you were saying, like evergreen titles, they've now moved on to the Switch and saying that games like Splatoon, Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, they're being called evergreen titles. The fact they want to keep putting more and more DLC and extra content onto these to keep people going back to them. So it's very interesting. Mm. One thing that did interest me in the, looking at the sales is, did you see how many sales Mario Kart 7 for the DS got?
I think it's just above 10 million.
I think, like, it still said that, I'm trying to find it here on the list, but from what I saw, they'd still sold, like, a good, like, 10 million in total, and it was, like, an extra 200,000 they got in, like, the last month or so. Hmm. But I also saw that the same for Mario Kart Wii, that actually got some sales, about 100,000 as well.
Huh.
And and then people wonder why Nintendo don't put their prices down, you know, on most of their titles, because they keep selling. So
yeah, like people still have a Wii. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know, which is strange because now they've just about to wipe out all video, apps and stuff on the Wii. Like for instance, YouTube and Netflix are going. So why people are still watching it in standard definition on a Wii? Who knows? But whatever. But yeah, it just amazed me that how much these titles, even the really old titles, okay, it's Mario Kart. So Mario Kart continually sells anyway. But it was just amazing to me how many sales they've made from these two games from, like, what, 8-9 years ago now, something like that. So, but cool.
Right. So moving on, I believe you wanted to talk a bit about Pokemon Go.
Yes. It came out in the news this week that Pokemon Go is still making a lot of money. We were just reading before the podcast that in its entirety, Pokemon Go, ever since it's been out, has made over $2 billion in like the last 2 years or 3 years, however long it's been. In the last month, it was announced that they made $85 million on Pokemon Go. And I can't even compute that amount of money. I'm just like, for a game where you literally just catch Pokemon on your mobile. I know they've had a lot of interesting events in the last couple of weeks. They've had extra community days, and they seem to be pushing week-on-week content and daily content now, giving you, like, research tasks to complete and things like that. So there's lots more going on with Pokemon Go at the moment, and lots of, I think, leading up to the new release of the game this Friday for Switch, they seem to be doing lots of conjoint events and things that are sort of around, like, for instance, they got the Meltan announcement, which they had in Pokemon Go was catchable Pokemon, but technically was a Ditto, but that Pokemon is going to be in the new games. So things like that, they're doing lots of linking stuff, and I think it's sort of really working for them really well, the fact that they're making so much money in a month. $85 million, I can't believe that for just one game. How well do you think Let's Go is going to do because of, like, this sort of
at least
things around us at the moment?
At least 10 million before the end of the fiscal year.
Wow.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
It's probably going to happen.
Pokemon is something else.
Because I think Mario Odyssey got very similar within the same time frame. I think they got to... No, yeah, I swear they definitely got to 10 million before the end of the fiscal year when that launched.
I think it did, yeah. I think you're right. Mm. I think it did.
So I think just
another... Which is great.
It would have been 3 weeks. If they were to release in the same time frame, it's about 3 weeks apart. So yeah, I think Pokemon will definitely sell at least 10 million, and yeah, because I mean, it's Pokemon, it's taking advantage of Let's Go, it's going back to Kanto, it's got Pikachu around the box, so it's like, okay, we know who that is, that'd be good for the kids.
I think you're right there, actually, saying that it's got a recognisable character straight on the box straight away. So lots of people are like, oh look, there's a Pikachu, you like that game? Yeah so... You know, I absolutely agree with you there. Because if it's got a new Pokemon you've never seen before, maybe like parents and stuff wouldn't recognize it straight away, kind of thing, and you wouldn't think it was just some other game or something. But you know, if you see a Pikachu in a box, most people know it's related to Pokemon, or you know, it's been around there. But yeah, I think you probably are right, though, to be honest. And the chance this game's got to sell so many Switch consoles and things, it's a real interesting period of time around the Christmas. But especially whenever there's a Pokemon game out, you know it's gonna be crazy sales for Nintendo. And let's see how it does. But $85 million, we're in the wrong franchise, Matt. We need to be selling mobile games where you catch random critters and things.
Wrong franchise.
Can we do that? Yeah, we shouldn't be doing podcasts. We should be doing like mobile games where we like just catch Pokemon, but not Pokemon, obviously.
We catch Pocketmon, yes.
Pocketmon, which is still Pokemon, but you know. Don't tell
him. Okay. Go on.
That does remind me. Just a quick one. Nintendo won a court case this week. Against which I did forget, I don't know if we mentioned this later on in the news or not, but they won a court case against a company that was basically putting out hacked ROMs on the
Love ROM, I believe.
Love ROM. $12 million, I think it was, the full toast in damages. So that's basically just going to kill off most of the ROMs on websites, I think, to be honest, especially Nintendo ones anyway. But
God damn.
So maybe we shouldn't copy them and then do a Pokemon Go.
I think I remember talking to this with Nantanjix from Source Gaming when he came on. So I remember around the same time the sites were getting taken down.
It's true.
And to be honest, I'm like, I don't know.
But a lot of that was related to the release of the NES and the SNES Mini, because Nintendo were reusing their licenses on a lot of old games which they'd never used before.
Yeah.
And also with the NES library on the Switch as well, there's a lot more extra games on there which haven't been renewed for quite a long time. So those games that were basically on ROM sites because they haven't been using the licenses now effectively are under license, and now they are basically breaking the law. So it's a strange one, but I can, there's sort of two sides to this, because it's sort of, it benefits and harms the community. So guarantee these games are always going to be on Nintendo consoles, but at the same time they're always going to cost more than not paying for them.
It's more like, okay, so it's Nintendo's property, so like just be putting them out as ROMs when there are legal methods that exist, either as classic, like the virtual console and older consoles, what have you. And yeah, but on the other hand, it's more like preserving games. You know, like imagine if like they took down Mother 3, you know. But like for us, that's the only way you get to play Mother 3. If there's another niche game from the NES or whatever that is pretty much impossible to find, but they have a ROM of it. It's not on like the NES Classic, it's not on the Virtual Console, it's not on any other legally attainable thing.
Yeah.
Then that should be allowed to be emulated, you know. Because that's not really taking away from sales. That's just saying, oh, we're just preserving this game, you know, because it's wrong that like it just doesn't exist at all, you know.
But to be fair, I think the Love ROMs was literally just giving it out to anyone who wants to download it kind of thing, which is a lot of sites do. But this is a significant point that no one, I don't think any company's ever had this much of a big turnout in terms of money. Like 12 million is a lot of money, and no company that's got loads of ROMs on the internet are going to have $12 million just sat somewhere. You know, it's just, I think that will scare a lot of people off, and it's... At the same time, it sort of what I think it sort of harms is like the hacking community. For instance, there's a Sonic hacking contest every year. I think it's coming next couple of months. Actually, saying that, that runs every year, and that's all done from Sonic ROMs. And basically, they download the ROMs and they just take it apart and rebuild it. If you can't do that with Nintendo games, there's no chance of things like that happening. So potential other games being created from those, for example, Freedom Planet and Sonic Mania, two like huge titles, in terms of indies and Sega himself, those sort of things wouldn't be happening. So without this sort of community of ROM hackers and things like that. So I get the reasons for it, but at the same time, I don't want it to like put people off from doing it, because I think there's lots of creative people that can do well out of hacking these ROMs and having the access to these ROMs. But you got to have the right balance, and it's right that they won, definitely. But it's always gonna be a difficult one to choose either side, I think. But hey ho. Shall we move on, Matthew?
We should move on to Detective Pikachu, which is
oh my god,
which is god.
So fluffy.
it's weird because, like, despite it being a 20-year-old franchise, we've never had a live action film. And I don't think we've really had a live action.
We've never really demanded it, have we?
We've never had a live action movie based on a video game IP that actually looks quite good. We never have.
I wouldn't say. Well, Warhammer had one a few years back, didn't they? That was the closest sort of thing I could sort of.
Movie.
Yeah, they did have one, but I don't know to what extent the characters were similar, because I've never really not War. Is it Warhammer? Yeah, I think it was Warhammer. I don't know, but I don't know. Weird. Maybe. I don't know. I what do you think so far of Detective Pikachu? When you first saw it, what did you think?
I remember being initially jarred by the Pikachu, because I mean that just doesn't look like what I would imagine.
First sort of view, like he's completely fluffy rather than like when you normally see him in the anime and things. He's like very solid color, yellow basically, so it doesn't look like fur or anything.
But given time, I'm actually loving it, because like if Pokemon were to exist in the real world, that is what that actually looks more realistic than it just being like just flat colors, I feel.
Yes.
Even though it may look less appealing. The funny thing is that so I can't remember the artist's name. Let me try and find it now. But there's an artist that worked on concept art of realistic Pokemon. So
yeah, I saw
he
this.
He was today, actually
yeah.
hired to work on this movie. Here we go. Realistic. This comes from Nintendo Life. Realistic Pokemon artist landed Detective Pikachu movie job after being discovered in Google. So let me see. Artist RJ Palmer, who actually works for Ubisoft San Francisco. That's what SF stands for. Was scouted by the film's production designer to work on the movie. Looking at his artwork, they are very realistic. Like they. Too realistic, almost disgusting, but it's kind of cool in a way, like too much like animals. Whereas, like what
you've got to try and it's difficult, you've got to try and have the right balance to like realistic, like looks to them, but at the same time, keep them as Pokemon. That's
what I think he's managed to done quite well in this movie. Because like when you're looking at like the CGI trailers for the new Pokemon games, like Pokemon Let's Go. You know, like, they still look good, but there's definitely, you know, there's definitely a disparity between it.
Whereas, like, when you see, like, the humans and then the Pokemon right next to them, and they're completely different designs and things. I get what you mean.
Whereas designs in this film, there's a bit more variety to it. So, like, Pikachu's all fluffy. Psyduck is, like, feathered. Greninja's slimy.
Greninja's slimy is really good. I think does look like a proper frog.
Okay, the thing I'm loving about this is that, one, it could be sort of seen as its own story sort of deal. So I feel like with a lot, they try to adapt it almost one-to-one, and I think that's kind of its downfall. Because, of course, with a game, as long as, like, Pokemon, it can be hard to get the whole experience down into just one movie. Whereas if they focus on a more plot-based shorter game like Detective Pikachu, Which isn't as well known, but I think that's the right premise for this movie, I feel.
Yeah, I think a side sort of swipe at the series rather than going full in, oh, this is Ash Ketchum kind of thing. Because I think if you look at previous animes that have gone into the live action sort of series, it never really pulls it off properly.
No.
Especially if you are a Dragon Ball like fan, don't ever watch the live action film. It's awful. So, I think the only one that might get away with that one is Last Airbender. That's not too bad, but it's not exactly amazing.
I haven't heard good things about that.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not like the worst thing ever. You know, it's like, but I'm hoping this is something different to it. We've Ghost in the Shell did quite well when that.
But I don't think that's done.
Maybe that's the sort of idea of it.
I don't think that's really done. I don't think that they're too good critically. I'm not sure.
No. I mean, visually, it was like that. That was quite a good sort of film. But right. I like, in terms of how this one looks, I'm actually really excited for it. I think it does look really realistic, and you could physically see that as an actual thing in the human world kind of thing, rather than the Pokemon world. That's
the only design I'm still not 100% sure on is Charizard, but then again, that's just from one scene.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, he's lots of scales and things on him. He does look like a proper dragon.
I don't know. It's more like, I don't know. It's just his face just didn't really see, like the one scene where he's in like cage fight. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But it's in the very last scene when he like tries to fucking eat Pikachu. I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem too right.
He's got big teeth and he's a dragon and he likes.
I know,
but
like he just doesn't seem like Charizard. They just like. Jigglypuff.
He should be sleeping somewhere.
People were popping off about Jigglypuff. I'm here just like, Jigglypuff actually looks pretty good.
I love Jigglypuff. Yeah, I thought he looked amazing.
I know.
Or she. It even gave like the angry puff like expression. I was like, yes.
One of my actual favourites was actually Mr. Mime. I know you don't
know
like Mr. Mime.
No.
He looks
Mime
good.
Anyway.
Mr. Mime actually looks great.
I hate Mr. Mime all the passion anyway.
God. What,
this
like, just outside? Of, oh my god, Mr. Mime looks so great in this.
He's the most useless psychic Pokemon in the world. And, like, even in the first, like, gen, he's just awful. But he just, in this film, they've just basically turned him into a giant skin face puppet thing, and it's horrible. It's literally. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, Mr. Mime, Detective Pikachu.
I like what they've done with like using him as like the bad guy they're interrogating. That works for the film and that's quite funny. But the actual design itself, just makes me feel ill, honestly.
None of you mentioned it yet, but like it could have been worse. It could be worse.
I don't know. It could. I honestly don't think it could, unless it was like else to be Mr. Mime.
In motion, Miss the Pokemon do look
yes,
really good.
Okay,
it's more like when
enough.
People
yeah,
just
okay.
take it. People just like take it out and like yeah, but like when it's in motion.
The hand swipe from like sad to happy has been going all over Twitter with like the GIF and that. And it's
oh
just
yeah,
making
I fucking
me...
love that.
It's funny, but.
The other thing I want to mention was
what other Pokemon did you spot?
There's a lot. IGN put out a good video where they showed a lot. So there's in that very first scene, so like Charmander and you saw Dodrio, but you also saw Braviary from Gen 5. You saw Comfey from Gen 7.
Comfey,
Klefki. And then like
I have to look for them.
It was. You saw Squirtle and Bulbasaur. You saw that.
Yeah, Squirtle was hidden in the cage sort of section, wasn't he? Like on the right hand side. I noticed him quite early.
And then Rufflet as well.
I didn't see Rufflet. What was the little squirrel Pokemon as well?
The flying squirrel one.
Yes, it. Yeah, the flying
squirrel.
Yeah,
Emolga.
Because they were on top of the stalls, weren't they? I didn't notice that until the second viewing, so I was like, oh, okay.
I think it's just the other thing I really liked about it is like they just giving a lot of love to like all gens of Pokemon, not just Gen 1.
Yes, yeah, actually, that's actually really good. Yeah,
like so not only are you like focusing on like Pokemon from all different generations, like the main game of Detective Pikachu did as well. You're also getting like a lot of references to other gens, like in the main person's room, Tim Goodman, I believe. One of his biggest posters was a poster for the Sinnoh Championship, which is like, fuck yes, you know, Sinnoh is my home, basically.
Lots of people are calling that as a reference to say, "Oh, this might be a remake coming," but
But
I'm not
like,
so
of
sure.
course, there's a remake coming eventually. We just don't know
Maybe
when.
next
I don't
year?
know.
Question
Nah, we're
mark?
getting Gen 8 next year. There's no way they do. Yeah, I think we're getting Gen 8 next year. Anyway, that's a different topic. Although we really cool if we got like a Gen 8 reveal in
I
Detective
mean,
Pikachu. That'd be sick.
they did basically just choose the most like popular like of the Pokemon, I think. Like they have Charizard,
To
Squirtle, Pikachu,
focus
Jigglypuff,
on.
and Greninja, who is probably one of the most popular
Yeah, but
ones from the
like,
series at the moment, but
but again, like, this is only the first trailer.
yes, of course,
So like, even though that's fine, you know, I'm fine with them having a focus. It's more like just the fact, you know what? Yeah, they're not going full out on Kanto. They are actually paying like proper respect to like the whole universe.
yeah,
You know, like even if it's just little cameos or anything, that's enough.
I just realized why I didn't like Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
It's because he looks like a gone-off Goomba.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's like a moldy
Yeah,
Goomba.
so I have very high hopes for Detective Pikachu. It looks very good. A lot of fun.
What other Pokemon that have you haven't seen yet would you like to see in it?
I wouldn't mind seeing Decidueye or Incineroar. I
Yeah,
think
that's
that'd be
true.
quite cool.
Maybe a lone Pokemon, that's good to shout. What about like I would like to see Ho-Oh. I would really like to see Ho-Oh as a like another feathered character, but I think you could
I think
pull
we'll
that one
definitely
quite
be
well.
seeing Mewtwo. So I wonder how Mewtwo is gonna look in this.
Oh, that's very
Because I think
interesting.
Mewtwo has
Yeah.
quite an important part to play in the game. So,
Oh, okay. Okay. Ooh, that does interest me. How could they pull that one off?
Who knows? Anyway, so moving on. Fans of Castlevania may be maybe aware of the Castlevania Netflix series.
Yes.
Recently got season 2 released around Halloween, and then season 3 has also been announced to be in development.
Yeah,
So I
I've
think,
not watched it, but I've heard it's very good.
yeah. So it's been crazy popular all around. But if you're more interested in a more Nintendo-centric series, that may be good news for you. Because according to the Wrap media site, Adi Shankar, who is the producer of the executive producer of the Castlevania Netflix series, is apparently in talks to produce a Legend of Zelda TV series for Netflix. So this comes from like industry insider information on the part of Wrap, apparently, and of course. And a bit of Shankar teasing on his part as well. So in an Instagram post a couple of weeks ago, on October 29th, it said, "I can confirm that I'm working with an iconic Japanese gaming company to adapt one of their iconic video game series into a series. November 16th, which is this Friday, at 1 p.m. I'm going to announce what it is. I love you all. Thank you for following me on this journey. Telling you guys continues to be a privilege." So I think a Zelda series is very highly on the cards. Because of course he's worked with Konami before if he wanted to work on Castlevania. So I feel like if it was Konami he'd just say it would be Konami. I think Zelda's most likely. I think.
Metal Gear Solid.
Nah.
Yeah, 100% Metal Gear Solid, I reckon.
No way.
Because there's been talks of that being having a film for like years, and if this is a way they could get around it, I think that would probably be the most likely. But I would like to see a Zelda one, absolutely, on like a Netflix
I'd place my
series.
bets more on Zelda, to be honest.
Yeah.
Definitely, I'd definitely bet more on Zelda than Metal Gear. I
Ooh,
think so,
place your
because,
bets.
yeah.
Place your bets, our audience. Who do you think?
Yeah, I have high hopes for this as well, because apparently the Castlevania series has been quite faithful. So I'm hoping for a unique scenario at least for this one.
When you say unique scenario, what do you mean? Like a completely new story, or
maybe a completely new story? I want a minor adaptation, or say like Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, what have you, because of course there's been manga of that. But I wouldn't mind if like it took place in like its own story, sort of like Hyrule Warriors, how that takes place in its own place. So it's like, oh, so this is like the TV. So it's sort of like so think of the CDI games and the TV show.
Oh no, don't.
So of course, like that's their vision of what the Zelda world could be, and that's kind of what I want from this Netflix series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of course, if they do it one for one, then Link won't be able to talk, which isn't right, of course. Whereas in the CDI shows and the classic TV show back from the 80s, Link did talk. So I think that'd be kind of a necessity. I mean, if not Link, maybe from Zelda's perspective or anything like that.
I mean, Link not talking is only in games because, like, you are that character. You basically you take over that role as that character. So, but it wouldn't work for Netflix, unless like you see it from his perspective. I don't think it would work like that. But yeah, it's I agree. I think it would have to have some sort of even smaller talk in a, like parts in it. Yeah, it would absolutely.
Moving on then, to the Game Awards. Now this is going to be some fun.
Have we won something?
Good one, Jack. Anyway, so of course the Game Awards are probably the biggest, award ceremony in the video game industry, happening early December. December 6th for those in America, and it'll be December 1st for the rest of the world. So of course there will be, according to Jeff Keighley, who is the host and creator of the awards, there'll be a ton of announcements, which I guess we could go into briefly now, because they announced the nominations today as well. But let's go into the announcements for now. So
didn't they announce Bayonetta 2?
They announced Bayonetta 1 and 2 for Switch last year, in addition to Bayonetta 3, as well as the Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC.
They did, didn't they?
And I was like, oh, that's available right now. It's like, oh, Christ. What I'm thinking, personally, we'll be getting Metroid Prime 4 trailer and a Bayonetta 3 trailer.
Yeah, I could see something like that.
And then if we're lucky, we'll get a port of either Wonderful 101 or Xenoblade Chronicles X.
I'm not so convinced on those two, but yeah. Not at the Game Awards. I don't think they'd get Wonderful 101 wouldn't get announced at the Game Awards, but enough people know about it. That's the problem with
like
that.
This is a chance to promote the game.
Well, that's the thing though. Lots of people know Bayonetta though, and that was why the Game Awards was quite a good place for them to announce it though.
Right.
It's those players from other consoles who may like Bayonetta. Oh, well, they might be interested. There we go. But this is the thing with the Game Awards. You've got the whole audience of every single console player there, and big games, small games, whatever. But you got to sort of try and choose the right audience for those sort of things.
That's fair. I don't know. I'd say if we're lucky, we'll get a Platinum game for Switch.
Yeah. Maybe some extra DLC for some of the other games. I don't know. Maybe Mario Odyssey, maybe?
We could see some DLC. Yeah. I think if there'll be one, I'd place my bets on Mario Kart, to be honest.
Because
I feel like this may seem stupid now that I say Mario Kart is going to get DLC, but I feel like with Odyssey, they just kind of want to hold their cards. Well, no, actually, no, I'm not really too sure if any is going to get DLC, because I feel like Right now, we're probably going
to
be...
Think what we were saying earlier about these evergreen titles and that you want to bring more DLC to these games. It just seems strange that they wouldn't do it for Odyssey in terms of paid DLC.
Did they actually mention DLC specifically? Because I think they just mentioned they wanted to keep on supporting it, which could mean just promoting it.
True.
I feel like with the case of Odyssey, I think we would have seen at least something now. Because like with everything else, they've always done it either like around near launch. Like ARMS, confirmed to be getting post-launch DLC. Same with Mario Tennis, same with Splatoon 2. And Splatoon 2 got like it's a proper DLC expansion within 1 year of its release. Zelda announced a season pass beforehand. Xenoblade 2 got a DLC thing. So I feel like if Mario Odyssey was going to get DLC, they would have said at least something. But I could see it happening.
They've had lots of free DLC for that in terms of like the costumes and things. But...
Yeah, but like that's only costumes though. That's nothing really substantial.
It seems strange to me there's not a game that they might not add like extra levels to and things like that. It's the only game that hasn't really had anything added.
If a game... Because like Splatoon 2, that's it for the paid DLC, I believe they said. But I could
Doesn't
see...
mean they won't release more, though.
If there's going to be a DLC for any game, I think Odyssey will probably be the best bet, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, other than maybe Pokemon,
because like Pokemon's really been data mined, and what can you really do with DLC for that? But yeah, I'm just looking forward to tuning in at 1:30 in the morning on the release date of Smash Brothers. So the nominees were announced earlier today. For Game of the Year, quite expectedly, you have God of War, Marvel's Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2 all gunning for the Game of the Year.
Gunning. Well put in there, Matt. Well done.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, which is my personal vote, and Monster Hunter World. I was set up for the award as well. I think that's a good lineup. I think that's a strong lineup, and I think that showcases the best of what this year has.
I can't disagree with you. I think Monster Hunter definitely deserves to be in there. I think Red Dead's going to win it easy, but Celeste's had a great shout out there to be there. I think that's impressive.
Celeste gets my vote mainly because it's the only one I am voting for, because that's the only one I have played. If that actually wins, that would actually be the biggest upset, I feel.
Spider-Man's a great game. I wouldn't call it Game of the Year.
Right.
Monster, I think it's between like Red Dead 2 and Monster Hunter World for me. Yeah, for me personally. But God of War is also a very good game. But I think that's because it's only on one console, it's kind of limited.
So is Spider-Man, whereas, to be fair.
Same thing. So, whereas Monster Hunter World is on Xbox and PC and
I wouldn't
PS4.
Really say that's a good argument, mainly because Breath of the Wild won last year.
True.
You could say that was on Wii U, but no one really bought that on Wii U. It was a Nintendo exclusive. That's the thing. I think Red Dead 2 will probably end up winning.
If Red Dead wasn't in the list, I think Monster Hunter would win. But it's been... Because it was so long ago, it was literally right at the start of the year that Monster Hunter came out. I think that might struggle for the Game Awards.
To get
the nominations, excellent for him, though, to be fair.
If Red Dead wasn't in, I'd say God of War would win. You can look through the nominations for yourself on the Game Awards website and also vote as well, because, you know, there's nothing better than public vote. So, of course, you got like stuff like Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, Best Score.
Best Game Direction.
Best audio, best performance.
Oh, I can see Detroit Becoming Human winning a lot of these awards as well, because that especially narrative. The narrative, I think that'll probably win that one easy.
Narrative. What is?
So you've got going Detroit on Becoming Human. You've got God of War, Life is Strange 2, Spider-Man, and Red Dead.
I bet Red Dead will win that as well. To be fair, I think I think Red Dead will get the biggest sweep up this year.
Hmm.
Octopath
Traveler in the best art direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great shout for them.
Let's see what else. So this is a Nintendo podcast after all, so we are of course going to talk about Nintendo. There's not really much Nintendo here.
No, there's not, is there?
So like you have got like a lot of third party stuff. You know, you got Dead Cells.
We got Celeste.
Like Celeste isn't a Nintendo title.
Octopath Traveler.
The only games, if I could get to the family one, let me see, it's family, so like, it's pretty much Nintendo all around, you know, you got Mario Tennis Aces, you got Nintendo Labo, and you got Mario Party from Nintendo, and you've also got Overcooked 2 and Starlink, which is pretty much, I'd say, mostly associated with Nintendo anyway. But outside of that, you've only got Mario Tennis for sports title, and you've got Octopath Traveler for best soundtrack, best art direction, and best RPG. So compared to last year, we had a lot more, I feel.
Mm.
It's definitely a bit less.
Yeah.
Like even mobile title, I don't think you're going to get losses in mobile title.
Well, mobile title has got Fortnite and PUBG in it, so
yeah, that'd be fun. You see, I don't agree with that. That's a bit annoying.
Oh, best action game, Mega Man 11 mm-hmm. got a shout in there. That's an interesting one. I wouldn't put it in best action game.
Content creator, i.e., racist of the year.
Oh wow!
No, that's taking a jab of a meme joke. But yeah, I don't know. Okay, so this is the thing. There's a lot of esports awards, which is like, you know, yeah. Esports is big.
Best fighting game.
Fighting game. Okay, fighting game. I'm fine with.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
Dragon Ball Fighters will win. I think Dragon Ball Fighters will be the best fighting game. But hold on, let me get that was the Blaze Blue, Soul Calibur,
so,
Street Fighter 5 Arcade, and Blaze Blue. That's pretty good for fighting.
At least best family game looks like Nintendo's going to win something because it got single category.
That's not really saying anything because they always win family category.
How is Starlink in the best family game?
It's a family game.
Is it really though? Would you call it a family game?
I mean, like they have toys.
So, I mean, it's a single-player one for one, and
it's more like stuff that you can play with your family. That's the thing.
All the categories, I wouldn't put it in the best family.
So this is time. Okay, so hold on.
If Mario Tennis Aces beats FIFA and best sports game, I would laugh my head off so much.
That'd be great if they did.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, so
can we all just vote for Mario Tennis Aces to win, please?
I think that's because of the only one we've actually played.
Can we do it? Can we just do it?
Okay, so time for me to do a bit of rambling because I never do that on here. So the Game Awards in general, I don't really like it being public voted, or at least I don't like it being the, because the in a utopian society, the way I'd like it to be is that we've got one of the Critics' Choice Award, and then the other will be a popular vote, because I think the public opinion is important, but when, you know, if it's just by popular vote, then like I fear that like the actually good stuff may. And that seems like critical as fuck, but it's like, say Fortnite was up for Game of the Year.
Yeah. You
know? But like, that's putting it against well-made, like, crafted games, like, well-thought-out game design games, rather than just one single mode. you know.
Yeah.
Of course, Fortnite does seem to deserve its success. It's got, like, a lot of support, but... So, like, if you were to do popular vote comparing, like, God of War or Red Dead compared to Fortnite, you know, Fortnite will probably win because of its popular vote, but that doesn't really determine its quality, whereas I think critics have a better perception of that. So I can't remember exactly, because I believe I read somewhere that last year's was, like, public vote only went towards a bit of it. I'm not too sure, though. Anyway, one of the bits that I just found out is that, so you can vote once every 24 hours, which is stupid. So, whereas one people, if they miss that thing, they will only say, oh, that's my vote for the day, that's it. So if you want to ensure your game wins, you have to come in for, like, almost 3 weeks just for, like, just getting much. And then, in addition, if you share your vote, it gets an extra boost. And it's like...
So you effectively could vote for Mario Tennis 21 times, then?
Pretty
much.
To win
Best Sports Game of the Year.
And then if you share it, then it will get even, like, bumped up more.
Can we do this? I'm gonna keep this as a promotion. I'm literally gonna do this all over Twitter.
I'm very tempted to just boycott it in general, because that is a stupid ass idea.
Anything to beat FIFA and PES, please, please.
Because, like, I don't know, I just think that it's stupid to be able to vote once every 24 hours. I should actually go voting. So, like, let's vote for Celeste.
It does seem odd, I must admit. It does seem odd that the fact that you can vote every single sort of day.
Sign in using Twitter, okay. No, I want to sign in from... Never mind.
But at the same time, it's also quite ingenious. The whole, like, if you share it, you get an extra boost. It gives the game awards that more...
Publicity, yeah. I get why they do it, but, I mean, it just ruins the authenticity, I feel.
Yeah,
you know,
that is true.
If you're going around doing shit like that, it's like, well... There's not technically by popular vote when some people can do it millions of times, whereas one may only do it once. You know?
People are just going to make new accounts just to be able to keep voting, I guess, or things like that. But like, I don't know. It's weird.
I think that is, like, that comes with most public vote things. Like, again, public vote, I feel, is still important. Because, I mean, it's a public opinion. That's fine. Damn right I voted.
So who did you vote for, Matt?
I voted for Celeste for Game of the Year. I'm like, okay, good. That's cool. So I'll check in tomorrow to see if I could, like, retweet as well.
We're doing a live tweet.
Yeah, I don't know then.
I think I will be choosing Best Narrative for Detroit. That is an excellent game.
Wow, so. You played Detroit?
Yes, I've played Detroit.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Excellent game.
Yeah, so I'll probably check in with 24 hours to see if that holds up. So, like, sorry for going on about that, but a 24 hours.
It was just an interesting way they've done it, I must admit. Yeah.
It's just that you can vote once every 24 hours. Yeah, so I can still vote for other categories. So I assume I could just still vote for Celeste.
For every single,
like,
category, which is in.
No,
yeah.
Like, if I could vote for Celeste pretty much every day, which is like, no, that's not fair, you know. Like, I want Celeste to win, don't get me wrong.
But I think the fact that everyone's in the same boat, though, I think it doesn't...
But people may not know that, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine most people will be going on, like, every single day to do it. But there will be some people that would take advantage of that. It's a very nitpicky thing.
Yeah.
I just feel that's very stupid, and I want to make that clear. I'm very passionate about awards ceremonies.
I agree with you. I do agree with you.
If it's voting once every 24 hours, if that was it, no, okay, that sucks, but that's fine. But it's just the fact that, like, it gets an extra boost just for sharing it. It's like, well, it's already big enough of a show, you know. Fucking, you don't need
it's to... It's getting that worldwide audience for that award, isn't it?
Your followers are probably into gaming anyway, I feel.
But what if there's...
You know,
other
if not, you'd be, like, express it. But it's just
there,
like,
might be some people might not know about it unless it gets shared. So
it's not about sharing. It's more about just, like, the authenticity of the vote. Could you imagine if, prime minister or whatever was elected by saying, oh, you can vote for the prime minister once every day across this period. But if you tell five friends about it, that means your vote counts as five votes towards your prime minister.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You explain it that way, I think you've probably hit the nail on the head there.
Well, it's a stupid way because, I mean, I'm comparing to, like, politics to a fucking video
game. Don't bring
scenario.
Politics into our podcast, Matt. Come on.
Damn it, it's a real world. Yeah, that's my stance on it. I don't think it's very smart. Like, yeah, it's cool. You can vote for a variety of ways. That's fine. So, like, even with the variety of ways, I feel that would still be fine in a way, because you're doing it across different platforms, I guess. But personally, I'd prefer it if it was just constricted to just one person per vote.
Yeah, that's cool.
Throughout the entire voting session.
Let's not get too hung up on it. I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see how the vote ends up with a lot of these titles
but
and these elections.
It doesn't matter, because Xenoblade Chronicles 2 hasn't even been nominated. Okay, so for Best Ongoing Game, Splatoon 2 wasn't nominated, which I think should, because it got generally amazing DLC, paid DLC, and it still
that
got...
wasn't even in the family stuff, was it, either?
Well, like, it's hard to say, because Splatoon 2 is still a game of last year.
Yeah, technically,
But for Ongoing Game, I feel it should have deserved, because it got free DLC, which no one ever does. Or at least not most people. And it does at least monthly free updates, which I think is quite good as well. I'm not sure about the other categories, I'm not too sure. But to see it snub is quite hurtful. But, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, if that released this year, it probably would have gotten mentioned. But, the thing is...
2 million sales.
1.5, but yeah. The thing is, at the last year's Game Awards, Final Fantasy XV was up for RPG of the Year, despite releasing in November 2016.
Why?
So it's not a case of it being released outside of 2018. It's more of a case that they just didn't like think to put it in, and that kind of hurts more. Because it should definitely be an RPG, and it should have definitely been at least considered for soundtrack, surely.
Anyway, these awards don't matter. We're going to do our own awards at the end of the year, I'm sure, and they'll be much
probably.
More important than these. So, who cares? Shall we go on to the big news?
The big news, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, heck yes.
Baby! As Matt's put in our notes. Yeah,
but that's with a comma, so it's not saying that's a baby of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's just saying
it's
Smash
it's Matt's
Bros. Ultimate.
Baby.
No, that's why I put the comma there. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, that was the Nintendo Direct about 2 weeks ago now. Basically showed us everything we didn't know, putting the Grinch leak to rest. So new characters, Ken and Incineroar. What do you think?
Yep, it was a really good intro for both of them, just beating up Little Mac, and then, well, Ken's beat up Little Mac and chucked him into the screen, and then Incineroar enters as the new opponent. Both of them look good. No one's really that bothered about Ken, by the looks of it. He's just Ryu too. but it was nice that he's got his own like special moves and things, rather than just like a carbon copy. So there are like slight differences between him and Ryu, not very much in terms of gameplay, but in terms of like visuals and things like that, they are slightly different. Incineroar, I love it, all of his moves, because he's based on sort of wrestling moves and like suplexes and things like that. So I like that sort of aspect of his character and he's added to the game. There's no wrestling character as such, other than, of course, Pikachu Libre, which was shown in the trailer as well. Has been added into Smash as well. I think both those characters are excellent adds to the whole game. I think they fit really well. There's that whole, we can fight Ryu, Ken, and against other, like Mega Man and things in the whole Capcom sort of fight, which is really weird. I'm overall pretty cool. I'm quite impressed with them. Your thoughts, Matt? Or...
Pretty much what you said, really. I think it was a bit heartbreaking because I think a lot of people were really hoping the Grinch leak was real. For those that didn't know, it was a Grinch. It was a leak that pretty much debated the whole Smash community just because they had some new Grinch leak assets for the Grinch movie in the background of the photo, which showed banner artwork and showing seven characters, being Ken, who did end up true, but also Shadow, Isaac, Banjo-Kazooie, Chorus Kids, Mark Ryder, and Geno. Of course, it was too good to be true, so of course it wasn't. But yeah, so I feel like a lot of people were let down in cinema, especially because he was the last base newcomer to the thing. So it's
I
like, I
kind
mean,
of get
it's a
that.
bit of like when you had like I think I would have preferred it if like maybe K. Rool was safe for the end because you had Ridley being the big one at E3. You had like Simon and Richter being like at the halfway point. I had K. Rool to like finish up the hype train because he was. Cable was probably like the most requested character after Ridley, probably. Stand on in cinema, which no one really wanted, but a lot of people were predicting anyway. I don't know, but still excited for him. He looks really cool. I'm loving his expressions. He looks very expressive. And Ken, I think I'd rather play Ken rather than Ryu, to be honest. He just seems more flashy.
I kind of get that. But it's just like, was Ken really needed? That's like,
But
not
like
so sure.
that's Echo characters in a nutshell, and I think Ken
Yeah,
is quite an
big time.
iconic.
But he is the essential Echo character, and he always has
Exactly,
been.
that's the
So
thing.
yeah, I can get that, but.
Yeah, so
Just on from that, I just remember as well. There's some extra assist trophies that's been added, and Guile from Street Fighter has also been
Yeah,
added as assist
let's
trophy.
discuss the slaughter that was the assist trophy showcase.
Yes,
Shadow
we
and
shall.
Isaac aren't playable characters, so pull one out for them.
Shadow was meant was shown,
God
wasn't
damn.
he?
He was the
His,
first one shown, and I was like, oh, this is
yeah,
not
like,
good.
oh, not good. And everyone's Isaac dreams just faded away. It was just, oh dear, bless you. Who else is mentioned as assist trophies? Now I've got to think about that again.
Hold on, I'm gonna get out the direct as well because
We've already
there
had
was
Shovel Knight in previous ones, so.
see the thing is I actually love assist trophies because they always show like the really off characters almost. Let me see. So
They mention there's more assist trophies than Pokemon in this game, which is
yes, which
cool.
I'm quite happy with because I honestly prefer assist trophies over Pokemon anyway. Okay, so let's see. So we have Yuri Kuzakata, which is from Fatal Frame Maiden Blackwater from Wii U. Basically, I really like her, to be honest. She carries around like a camera that she used to like take photos of the spirits. If you're caught in that photo, then you kind of stun for a little while. And it just has this like really occult atmosphere around it. I think that's just like just such a cool atmosphere
It's
around
quite
her, I
this
feel.
cool cameo
Yeah.
appearance for that one as well. I
Yeah.
think they just one of those like it was quite well, Fatal Frame was quite a popular game when it first
Yeah.
sort of came out, and then they had the Wii U game as well that followed it up. So it's nice to have a little inclusion, yeah, definitely.
So Isaac from Golden Sun. Isaac still looks great. I'm just gonna say that, you know. Just be fucking thankful Isaac's in the game at all.
Whoa,
You know,
Matt.
I'm not. I'm
Oh,
just saying
stung. He
this.
stung everyone there. Oh.
No, because as a Leighton fan, you know, I'd be happy if Leighton was just a bloody spirit. You know, so here you go, all whining about Isaac. I mean, but like fucking Wayforward is just a lied. They're pleased as punch that Shantae's just the spirit. I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
you know, just be glad like he's in the game at all. You
Be
know,
glad we got you got. Yeah.
yeah. But you know, it is painful. So like, of course, I'm not being like, oh yeah, you're wrong for wanting him. You know, I do share that pain. But I mean, I've just seen like some people just being like absolutely just getting up in arms about it. It's like, come on, man. You
I think
know,
months
that's a
ago,
very small community, very small minority people there.
I think months ago we did try to get Arcade Bunny as a character, but he's an assist trophy.
Which did people actually want Arcade Bunny as a character?
I'm pretty sure we spoke about it a few months back where we wanted to do it, but it didn't happen.
I remember wanting Arcade Bunny as an arms fighter because I saw that really cool concept art, but I don't recall actually wanting Arcade Bunny as a fighter.
Maybe it was Sam. I'm going to blame Sam.
Probably
he's not
Sam.
Here. Sorry, Sam.
Going forward, Black Knight from Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, who people were hoping would be Ike's Echo character. Black Knight looks sick. He just walks around really slowly, just being a complete beast.
Mm-hmm.
Springman as an assist trophy.
Yes, Springman was quite a surprise. That also killed off character rumours. It's cool that he's got a thing there, but I think we were all quite surprised he was an assist trophy there.
I was quite surprised. I was kind of hoping Springman would be in, but then again, it's like, I wonder what else you could have done with a full moveset with Springman, though.
That's true.
Do you know what? It's weird when I see people would rather put, or like are predicting that we get Twin Tail in Smash over Springman.
Yeah.
Which is just like, okay, if you prefer that, that's fine. But I mean, if we're getting someone other than Springman, it's gonna be Ribbon Girl, because those are the two most like popular. Well, probably not the most popular, but the most advertised arms characters. Yeah, and I think since Springman is kind of the face of arms, I think it'd be kind of weird to like have anyone but him in Smash. But Ribbon Girl would like as an Echo. That'd be cool.
There's been some interesting ones so far not confirmed as assist trophies as well. Like Kat and Anna have been like removed, which was kind of surprising because they've been in the last two.
Vince from the Art Academy series, he's in as assist trophy.
Infantry and tanks from Advanced Wars have been removed or so far not been shown.
So you got Gaal and you got Akira from Virtual Fighter. With his blocky appearance.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
Oh, he looks so great. Oh, goddamn, I love it. Anyway, so like on the topic of assist trophies in general, then I'm just loving this lineup. It's such a diverse lineup. I mean, you got like bloody Shovel Knight in there.
Yeah,
that's amazing that's cool. In of itself.
Squid Sisters, of course, have been already added and confirmed.
I like one of the first, I believe.
Yeah, that's one of the first. Fromp from Mario was added.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So moving on, we got a look at the main mode of Ultimate, which is Spirits. So basically, they're kind of a mixture between custom equipment from Smash 4, event matches.
And trophies,
yeah. So, like, basically, the thing with Spirits is like trophies are out of the game, which I think nobody liked. I remember hearing that, I'm like,
No, but a lot of people liked the trophies and did like the like parts of it and collecting it. I think that's quite fun, but you get that with Spirits anyway. But I think it saves a lot of time from not having trophies in.
That's exactly what I said,
Although
I hope that we at least get some descriptions, because that was always nice. Or at least some, like, saying, oh, this person's from this game, they debuted in this game, or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, like, little lines.
That's all you need.
Least.
That's all you need, yeah.
In a way, I kind of prefer, like, Spirits and other than trophies, because, like, yeah, they are kind of boring, just JPEGs characters. But at the same time, it has, like, a lot of variety, like, for who can actually get in. You know,
yeah.
Like Game Explained did a good video of the top 10 most obscure spirits found. There was one person that was like so niche that he didn't even have like he didn't appear in the game at all.
Really?
So, okay, well, damn. It was like this old like chess game that was only released in Japan or something.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. But yeah, like goddamn, I'm really excited because I know a good friend Ollie Jameson loves his obscurity in games. So I think we're just going to have a lot of fun.
Where's Doshin the Giant?
If he's not a spirit, that's going to be a bit disappointing. Yeah, I don't know, but like the main thing is they power up your fighters like custom equipment. So the primary spirits are your primary spirits, of course. Basically, they provide most of the stat boosts to your fighter in addition to something else. Let me see. Here we go, spirits. Primary spirits enhance the fighter's strength, and they also have different types. So there's attack, defense, and shield. Guard. What was it? Attack, guard, and grab. So attack beats grab, grab beats guard, guard beats attack. So it's kind of like a weapon triangle.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, you've got like a decent variety of spirits as well. And then you've got support spirits, which allow for special abilities, which can be attached to primary spirits. So you've got, let's see here. So, it's like Party Phil from Wii Party. He allows you to get an easier perfect shield. The Windfish from the Legend of Zelda series grants special move power to be powered up. Princess Shakara from the Warrior Land equips you with the Super Leaf. So there's a lot of like mix and matching.
Okay.
Which I'm very interested to like try out and experiment with. See, that's like the core purpose of spirits. Now there are two spirits modes surrounding this. So the first is just spirits battles. So basically these play as event matches where you play as a fighter which relates to the spirits. For example, you may play as an Inkling with the Smurgle spirit, because Smurgle of course paints. Or there's a lot of other ones. They did a lot of examples. I'm sure our listeners have seen the direct, so know what they're talking. So they know what
they know, goddammit.
Yeah.
They know.
So yeah, if you haven't seen them direct, what's wrong with you? Go watch it. It's hype. I'm liking this. Originally, I was kind of concerned, but given that we could be getting one from a lot of fighters, we could be seeing at least 500 minimum.
Yeah.
Different spirits battles, which I think that's allows a lot of for missions. A lot more. Yeah, which allows for a lot more replayability, I feel. And they're quite different for each time, and like, well, so one has winds, another may have fire on the floors, another may have poison on the floors, one may be having you deal with like a certain type of enemy, a certain combination of enemies. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it'd be fun just like trying to get spirits on the go and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think I can see what they've done to sort of mash them all together into one, and those three things into one, and it does seem to work. And if it saves time and gets the game out quicker, then fair enough, it's worth doing, isn't it? So, shall we mention the other new character in this part?
No, because we're still on about spirits. I mentioned there were two key modes.
Okay.
The other is the glorious World of Light. All your favourite characters are dead. TM.
Apart from Kirby.
Apart from Kirby, who is our god.
Who saviour. Wins the Battle Royale. Number one.
Goddamn. An adventure mode was my number one request for this game. For those that read my Switch Player article on it.
Yeah.
I just want an epic mode. An epic adventure mode.
I don't think it's an adventure mode, though.
It is.
I just think it was a trailer for the spirits mode.
No, it's an actual adventure mode. So like Sakurai mentioned, it was an adventure mode in direct, and like on the official site, it does mention that it is indeed an adventure mode.
Okay.
Because you got that whole map and everything.
But I thought that was all because of the spirits, though.
Nah, so like spirits. Spirits are sort of like on like a wanted board, you know. So you got like a selection of spirits, you choose which ones you want, you do the battle, and then that's it. Whereas the adventure mode has a whole map to it. And they have like preset spirits. Whereas I think on the spirits battle page, they're all kind of random. But yeah, so that trailer alone, god
That
damn,
was excellent.
that's if that's the only cutscene, if that's the only CG cutscene we get, then I'm fine, because that CG cutscene alone was just so, it's just what I wanted.
Voice acting.
For a second, yes, even better, you know. You got the four, you got Marth, you got Fox, you got Pit, you got Zelda. That was great. And then when it all kicked in with the vocal song, oh, it was just so, oh, I was
It was
just
good.
jumping out of my seat.
It's
It was better than good, man. Like,
good. I mean,
that is just what I wanted from Smash Ultimate. A
it was
good story
weird.
mode.
It was weird at first. And like, just like, here's all the characters. Now they're all dead. Like, literally did a
Pretty
Thanos.
much.
But it was just like, well, you're left with Kirby. And don't get me wrong, I like Kirby as a character, but it kind of, does that mean you got to unlock every character in adventure mode?
Pretty much. Which,
So
I wonder if that's gonna be like what Sakurai mentioned as the more streamlined way of unlocking fighters. I
maybe
wonder.
that's it. Yeah.
Even then though, I'm still really looking forward to this adventure mode, you
So
know.
that must be what, how many characters you've got now altogether?
74, including cat.
74.
If
So that's
Pokemon
at
trainers
least
count as one.
74.
I'm
So it's
fine
at
with that.
least
Like,
74 adventure
all
mode
the thing
maps.
I wanted, but like the thing is, this isn't some like half-assed adventure mode. It's like, oh yeah, we're just doing it just to have an excuse to doing Spirits Battle. It's like, no, they got a full map, full interactive map. You've got a skill tree where you can power up your fighters. It's sort of like an RPG.
Yeah.
You just, I don't know, it just looks epic, and you've got boss battles. This is probably where we'll be able to fight Rathalos and Dracula.
Yes, Rathalos was in the trailer, wasn't he? On
Yeah.
the actual map itself, so.
Yeah. This is
Yeah.
what I wanted. I can't wait for it. I'm just gonna bang this out day one. Oh man, I'm just so excited for this now. But yeah, that was.
Are well hyped.
Oh yeah. It's like the thing I wanted most.
Like you were hyped for the best piranha plant ever,
Yes. So moving on to
yeah?
DLC then.
Can I just mention, I said on Twitter before the Smash like direct, there's got to be some sort of NES reference for a character somewhere, because there normally is. Boom! We had a piranha plant from Super Mario
You
Bros. So
probably weren't
there you go.
expecting a piranha plant
I
though.
wasn't expecting a piranha plant, but I was expecting a NES-like character. So, because
It started like really putting like the same category as like NES characters though, like Game and Watch and Duck Hunt.
but that's the original game it's from, though, isn't it? So,
But then would you say Bowser's a NES character as well then?
yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay.
But then you got like, because you had the like, weird thing of having Mr. Game and Watch in Melee, then you had Duck Hunt Dog. Slim.
Yeah, I was already thinking it would be
Like what?
I was really banking on it being Takamaru. Because Sakurai mentioned that he wanted Takamaru in before, and I think he already has a moveset potential there. Yeah, Takamaru is like the mysterious Murasame Castle, which appeared as
Right.
that one mini game in Nintendo Land.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you now.
But
Yeah.
yeah, fucking Piranha Plant Man, I'm happy he's in. Like, it's weird because I'm like, some bits I would have wanted it more like iconic character, you know, like Geno, you know, someone like, you know,
But I think like
iconic in the same vein
Sakurai,
as K. Rool.
Sakurai had an interview afterwards, and he mentioned, like, who doesn't know Piranha Plant, though? That's the thing. It's like, well, I guess, but...
but, like, yeah...
Doesn't mean we wanted him as a character, but,
we
you know.
Needed a what-the-fuck character for Ultimate. That was what we missed him. Because so far, all the newcomers have either been Echoes,
mm-hmm.
characters that were kind of obvious that were coming, like Inkling or Isabel, or highly requested fighters. I think
King K. Rool, for example, but, yeah, I can see what you're saying.
But we needed a completely out of left field character, and that's what Piranha Plant is. And
it's
he's pretty much
he's got
free.
A massive reach as well.
Oh god damn, a massive reach.
I think it'll leave him open when you use that move, but it just like oh my god, it's just he's gonna
possibly.
Be so difficult to attack.
Who knows? I mean
the whole plant, like the whole pipe underneath him and he basically moves it with him is quite funny as well, though. I do like the way they've designed him.
I don't know, I'm just in love with it. I think it's just Sakurai just testing out his creativity.
So
that'll be for free if you purchase the game before the end of January. After that it'll be available to just download regularly, paid. We're not sure by how much, but
get it free.
Speaking of DLC, has indeed been confirmed to everyone's enjoyment, because of course DLC was such a big part of the Smash 4's life cycle. Mm-hmm. So they've already set out a plan as well, unlike Wii U. So we're getting the plan so far is that we're getting five fighters, each coming in a set. So each set includes one fighter, one stage, and a bunch of music tracks. And they come in our fighters pass. So you get all five sets for a reduced price of £22.50 over here in the UK.
Yeah.
Which is a great price, really.
For five characters, it's not too bad, to be fair.
Well, like for five stages and a bunch of music tracks as well. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and we'll probably be getting free updates as well, maybe even some new modes, because that happened with Wii U as well.
Maybe.
I think it's quite likely that we could be seeing like at least some other things as well, like Mii costumes. I think could be coming in as well, because I think those were quite popular in Wii U. DLC life cycle.
This is true.
Right. So.
So you're very hyped for Smash. If we haven't noticed.
Oh yeah.
So.
we got a question. I can't remember who from. But basically, they asked who were our predictions for, DLC. Who will be in as fighters. This is quite interesting, because Sakurai confirmed that DLC has already been decided, the characters have already been decided, and Nintendo actually chose the characters this time, not Sakurai himself. So that's led to...
RBX01 on our Discord page, where he left it in the questions for the podcast, so thank you.
Thank you for that.
Dude.
The only one I know for a fact, a hard fact, is we're getting another Fire Emblem character, and it's going to be a protagonist from Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'd bet money on that.
Probably.
Because
probably
I feel like Nintendo will want to bank in on that, because I think with a lot of these characters, I think one theory is that Nintendo just kind of want to capitalize on marketing, similar to Corrin and Smash 4's DLC.
I think with what you're saying, like Xenoblade Chronicles, I think there's likely to be a character from that. But because of the way they've worded it, saying they didn't have enough time to put him into the main game, makes you think, okay, that's got to be a DLC character.
The thing is...
In my opinion.
The cool thing is, so the Rex costume, the Rex Mii costume that's in, which I think is actually very well done, by the way. So that comes as free if you get the Fighters Pass. So of course I'm going to get the Fighters Pass. But I feel that could be just a way to gauge interest in the character, but then again, everyone just pretty much wants Rex anyway. But yeah, the thing is, like, I don't think it could be. I think if we're gonna get Celebrate Rep, it is of course gonna be either Rex, maybe Rex with Pyromithra. If not, then I could see it being Elmer from Xenoblade Chronicles X. That could be either two. That could be if we're gonna be getting a new sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles X, or if we're just getting Xenoblade Chronicles X over to Switch. But I don't think that'd be very likely. So if I had to go to one of the two, I'd say Rex, probably.
Okay.
Okay. So that's two characters. It's hard to think, really.
Yeah, because there's just so many characters already in this game. It's like,
But like, you got like so many.
are we
Okay.
taking, like, if they've got a spirit or assist trophy, we're going to say they're not going to be a
See,
DLC character?
that's what I was gonna say. Do you think they'd actually add an assist trophy? Because I think Spirit's characters are still on the cards. Because in Smash 4 we had trophies of Mewtwo and Lucas before they were even announced for DLC. So I feel like Spirit doesn't necessarily deconfirm then. But saying that, because of course we've seen like K. Rool spirits, we've seen Wii Fit Trainer spirits. Saying that though,
I'm trying to think of all the game series we've got included and like what else could be like represented, I guess, but
the ones I'm hoping for, I'm hoping for some Rhythm Heaven representation. We've got them as spirits. You know, we've got like Christ Joe, we've got the Chorus Kids as spirits. But I'm just
A
hoping
few
that we get a playable fighter from that series.
people mention like Wolf Link with Midna, but I don't know that one.
I wouldn't say no, but I don't know. I'd prefer Impa. If there's one more Zelda character, I would prefer it to be Impa.
Yeah, I don't know about Impa. I mean, she's good in Hyrule Warriors, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think with I don't know. It's a weird one. It's a
I
weird one,
feel
that one.
like I don't know. See
The
that's
other
the f
one
Oh, go on.
on that was, what about the characters from Breath of the Wild, the champions?
No.
Then I suggested, what about Prince Sidon?
Would he really have a good moveset though?
I don't know. That's the thing.
I
But
don't think it
it would
would.
be a good Breath of the Wild representative,
I
though.
wouldn't say no, but well, you've already got Link, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we're gonna be getting a Zelda character, I think.
We're getting Sans.
Fucking if it was just for the OST, yeah. So since Nintendo designing it, I could pretty much say rip to Joker from Persona 5 getting in. But if he does get in, holy shit. For them. Professor Layton is my number one pick that I want to get in, but I don't think he is very likely.
It's not. I'm not as confident now as the previous times we mentioned it, if I'm
No.
honest. But yeah, it would be a good representative, though. He's a well-known
Minecraft Steve actually has a good chance. That's the
Minecraft
world we
Steve.
live in.
Banjo-Kazooie still needs to be in this game by far, but no,
I wouldn't
not
say
from
no.
Minecraft Steve. What?
I would rather put in. Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I'd rather put in Banjo Kazooie, but considering Nintendo tuning the characters, Steve has a higher chance than Banjo. You
You
can't deny it.
wouldn't choose Steve over
You wouldn't
Banjo-Kazooie
choose, but
if you
Nintendo
had the
would.
choice of either of
Nintendo
them.
would, because what's more popular, Minecraft?
This is true.
It's true. It's not the
It'd be
future
like
we want, but goddamn.
Herobrine or a zombie.
Herobrine?
Yeah, he's
Oh, I don't know,
the bad
Mike.
version of Steve in Minecraft. Don't
Of
worry.
course, like I think everyone on the planet would prefer Banjo because Banjo is an actual character, whereas Steve is just a bunch of blocks.
I think you could do more with a Banjo-Kazooie's moveset as well
Exactly.
in But they are very similar to like the Duck Hunt Dog, so and
They're not really.
they're kind of similar in a way, but they
Because
would
they
have their
both have birds, and it ends at that.
well the fact they got two characters who you basically use both you'll be
Ice
used both
climbers.
parts of the yeah, but they're two separate one player characters, don't they? Even though they follow each other. Whereas at least like Duck Hunt Dog and the
right,
Duck
right.
do have their own sort of, like, both have moves together kind of thing, which work entwined kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, maybe Banjo-Kazooie and Duck Hunt Dog is maybe too similar, that maybe they're why they've not decided so far.
No,
but...
if it's anything, it's probably going to be licensing issues. Which may be weird,
well,
but I think Sakurai wants to focus on Japanese games.
If we
bring up the list, if we bring up the whole roster,
if they manage to get like three Capcom characters,
but
Konami
they're all Japanese,
character,
but they're all
a
Japanese
character.
So if we look through the list, okay, so starting from number one, Mario, going through to the end, if we look at characters that were created outside of Japan. We've got Dark Samus. If we continue going down.
I suppose American, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because that's
Star Fox
Studios. Well, Star Fox? No, Star Fox was created by Shigeru Miyamoto.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, so Star Fox wouldn't count. I'm
trying to think of other characters which were based on America.
Not based in America, created in America.
Yeah.
Diddy Kong, because that's from Rare.
Yeah. But that'd be UK.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm on Western, you know, outside of Japan.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be another rare representative kind of that they've already got. But yeah, it's.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I would much prefer having Banjo in
King K. Rool as well, I suppose. But yeah,
King K. Rool, and I think that's it. Because literally every other character was created by someone.
I want a pirate Goomba. Pirate Goomba, that'd do.
Fuck off. but yeah, so like I think Sakurai, and I think like there was definitely an interview one time before they want to focus on Japanese characters. So
Tails.
That's a small hope. Tails are one of mine seeing.
It's just weird that they've not mentioned Tails anywhere, and like Knuckles is this trophy, and so is Shadow, and it seems strange to me.
Tails should have been assisted with Knuckles.
Yeah, I would agree. Mm. And it seems, but I suppose Knuckles is easier
so
to
like,
make as a fighting character, I suppose.
So
but, yeah.
Literally, you only have out of the 74 characters, including Pokemon Trainers 1,
yeah.
You've only got 3 that are created outside of Japan. So Sakurai definitely focuses more on Japanese things. It's like if... I think out of all of them, though, I think Banjo is probably the most requested third-party character.
Mm.
Especially because he probably has a very strong title.
The most relevant, to be honest. I think the fact, like, he's been in...
Really?
In terms, but he's been in Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and Diddy Kong Racing as well. You know, it just makes me think...
It's not really... I guess more relevant to Nintendo's history.
Yeah, that's what I
but
mean.
But in terms of like today, I wouldn't say so.
No, of course.
The
last Banjo-Kazooie game came out 10 years ago, which was
and
Nuts
I was
and Bolts.
Okay.
That is so depressing.
Okay, so I'm definitely gonna bet a Fire Emblem Three Houses rep. There's no way they're not gonna do a new Fire Emblem character. There's no way they're not gonna.
They've got like 20 now. They're all blue haired and swords.
Corrin's white haired. The same with Robin.
Still
Roy's
got a sword.
Red haired. I think the female lord in Three Houses actually has an axe.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I'm hoping we could at least get that fully some weapon.
Does she have blue
variety.
Hair?
No, she has blonde hair.
Ah, that's alright.
They're definitely going to be doing a final.
We've gone through a few characters anyway,
okay,
and I think that pretty much answers the.
I think that's enough.
Question.
Anyway, Smash Bros. Ultimate, nice. Can't wait for it.
I'd never have known.
Let's end it there. So with that, let's move on to our next section. So this is our final section of the podcast right now. Starting us off, we've got a question from Martin Thompson, who asks, what is your Pokemon Ultimate Dream Team?
Wow.
Who knows?
I'm trying to think this one through for the last couple of days, and I'm just like, I can't really work it out. But I think a Greninja would definitely be in there.
Greninja would definitely
Somewhere.
Be in there for me as well. Decidueye and Apoleon. Those would definitely be two others.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a big fan of Magnezone. Because he doesn't have that many weaknesses. So I do like him.
I've got to apologize. Because I haven't really thought too deeply about this. And now I'm just like kind of struggling to think about.
Struggling to think of Pokemon.
Yeah. You know what? I'll get up. Oh, no. I remembered. I was going to get up Pokemon Sun. But then I remembered that I was in the Elite Four when I last left off.
Because I'm mainly from like Gen 1 playing Pokemon and Gen 2. I think like lots of my favourites are in those sort of eras, but I don't know. I do like Blastoise, but we've already got a water type in with Greninja who does the same thing. So I think I'd put Charizard in there.
If I could choose between, if I only had like one of each type, then I'd probably choose Empoleon over Greninja because I have more nostalgia for Empoleon.
Yeah.
I think
when I did speak to Malin, he did say that he wanted six Darkrai's. So I was like, okay. that's kind of cheating, but yeah, okay.
Fine. What else?
I'm trying to think of like more newer ones in terms of like Alolan Pokemon and stuff like that. I am a big fan of Sandshrew. I don't know why. I just like his design. So I think I would probably put a Sandshrew in there just because I like a good ground type. But there are better ground types, so...
Totally.
But I just like Sandslash's design. I think he just did quite a cool little... Like, his original Red and Blue sprite was horrible, but like ever since it's like been quite cool, so... It's got to be someone else you think of, Matt. I'll go through like types, like maybe like dark type or psychic types or things like that.
I'm just going through the whole list. I know my Sun team, my Pokemon Sun team. I think Mudsdale is definitely in there.
Okay.
And I believe Alolan Raichu is in there as well.
Mimikyu's quite cool for things at the moment.
Mimikyu would be cool, yeah.
Yeah, he like the actual battle techniques is quite cool. Having that extra move is always interesting in all the battles I've seen with him in. So lots of people like playing him.
Fucking Tyrantrum from Gen 6.
Okay.
The big T-Rex one. Oh,
yes. I've got a shiny one of him and he's very cool. I like that.
In terms of flying Pokemon, I'd probably go with Staraptor again because Sinnoh got a 100%.
It's either Pidgeot or Ho-Oh. So.
Let me see. Who else is on?
How many Pokemon have we actually said now? I don't know. Like, surely six should be on the list.
We've got a good number. I would Tyranitar. Like to just like sit there just one day. Oh, Tyranitar is a good shout.
Tyranitar and who's the ground dragon type who's in Pokken?
Ground dragon?
Yeah.
Garchomp.
Garchomp, yes.
Yes.
I really like Garchomp. I love his design as well. It's like a land shark thing. It's great. So that'll do.
Electivire would be pretty sick for electric types. Lucario maybe?
I've already said Magnezone for electric type really. Yeah. So.
Garchomp.
Yeah, Metagross is the other one you could use as another great decent ground type, so but he's also steel as well, so yeah.
No, Metagross.
No, he's psychic, isn't he? Yeah, I think he can have Earthquake as one of his moves, and I'm thinking that it's not right, is it? Okay. I was thinking Pokemon Go, that's why.
Yeah, probably Staraptor for flying for me.
Fairy?
Fairy?
Yeah.
As in fairy liquid?
No, fairy type.
I don't really know.
Fairy liquid.
Probably.
We put fairy liquid as our
probably Gallade. I'd probably get Gallade in there. My team will probably consist of a lot of Sinnoh Pokemon. I gotta represent. If not Gardevoir, I find Gardevoir quite cool, to be honest.
I think for like dark types, I'd probably have Umbreon.
Umbreon's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You don't really have a lot of dark types, though, do you?
I mean, Tyranitar's the big one that sort of pokes out there, but.
Him with the fucking Delibird. That's what I need on my team.
Delibird.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think we've probably covered
that. That's enough yet.
That'll do. I think that'll choose out of those lot that we mentioned. That's probably the best ultimate team. Like, yeah. I think we kind of cheated, but it counts. Right.
Shout-outs,
Matthew.
Shout-outs. My shout-out is to skip the tutorial on YouTube. Before I've given shout-outs to other essay-type channels on YouTube, for example, the... what was it? The Inside the Super Scope series for Game Explain, as well as Mark Brown's stuff on his channel.
Yep.
Game Maker's Toolkit. But Skip the Tutorial is another one like that. Not nearly as big. One of the series he does is Boss Battle Breakdown. That's taking part all different kinds of boss battles. Just gaming, for example, a couple of weeks ago he did one about Splatoon 2's final boss, comparing DDG and Octavia between both games, between Splatoon 1 and 2, and I thought that was very cool. The reason why he did one about why we need to hate our Pokemon rivals.
Okay.
And last week he did one about what makes a great Pokemon gym leader as well. But he does also do a lot of other cool videos as well. Like, for example, 7 platformer mechanics you need to play, 7 RPG systems you should be playing right now, stuff like that. All very cool stuff, very well thought out. I just really like analytical stuff about this. Another one, actually, is Design Doc. I'll put a shout out in for that as well. He also does a very good analytical videos as well. So definitely check those two out, because skip the tutorial, for the quality of work, he's not even at 10k subscribers, which is weird.
Well, he needs to change that, so go subscribe.
Yes. Jack, what about shoutouts for you?
Just a real quick one, as we normally shout out from anyway. Nintendo Players UK have been running a Tetris Puyo Puyo tournament, which I was very kindly invited to play. We've doing a double bracket sort of thing. So unfortunately I lost in the second round, but I'm still in the losers bracket at the moment. So I've got a chance of still beating someone else or losing someone else miserably. So
you should be fine.
Yeah, it's been fun to pick up Tetris Puyo Puyo again. That's a game which I've really enjoyed when I first played it, and now to come back to it and play a few more games online with a few more people, it was quite interesting, quite fun. But yeah, I just wanted to say thanks for Nintendo Players UK for running that, and particularly that is Fazdy and Jen from North Wales, I believe, Nintendo North Wales. So yeah, thanks guys for running it all, and you're doing a great job, and hopefully we can get everyone else who hasn't had their matches yet to sort it out so I can have my next game. But yeah, and thank you, Trodge, for the question, and also for the other dude for the question, which was RBX01 on our Discord. If you haven't joined our Discord yet, check out the description below. I'm going to try and be a bit more, a bit more open on there, and hopefully you have a bit more content and things happening in the next couple of weeks, because I've also built a Hampshire Gaming Hub one Discord recently, so hopefully we can start growing some communities and playing some games together and things like that. So That'd be cool. So shout outs to those as well. So the Discords of Hampshire Game Hub and Nintendo Podcast System. Cool.
Right. So that pretty much wraps it up here. Apologies for the lack of while we've been playing section. We delve too deeply into the new section.
We'll put it first next episode, so then we can talk about games and stuff.
No.
Just wanted to say, though, I hope everyone really enjoys the new Pokemon game, which come out this Friday time of recording, because we're recording on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I hope you all really enjoy it. If you want to add either me or Matt on Switch, I'm sure if we just tweet us and we'll gladly send them over and you can trade and battle and stuff like that. So that'd be fun. Or if you need to, check it on the Discords. So, mm-hmm. Yay. Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it all up for Matthew. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, just a bit before that, just a bit of housekeeping, I guess.
Housekeeping!
So, where can you find the podcast? You can find it on YouTube, Podomatic, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. A lot of places now.
So you've got no excuses not to listen. Tell your friends to listen. Please share the podcast.
Please
do.
And
leave a review.
Smash that like button. Can we get to 10k likes? Who knows?
Probably not.
Definitely not. Social media wise, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Podcast System. Just there. We also have a Discord server, which is probably as dead as my hope for Leighton getting into Smash Brothers Ultimate.
The truth.
Very true.
At least you accepted it now.
Yeah, that's about it.
Where can they find you?
Where can you find me? On Twitter at Acegibbo, ACEGIBBO.
Cool.
Jack, where can people find you?
Hello, I'm Jack, also known as Gorny7789, which is available on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and loads of other places on the internet. I did a nice video on Deltarune, which was the second Undertale game to come. I did a video about that. It's all on my channel, and I really liked how it came out at the end of it. I was a little bit critical of myself while listening to it, but I think I've really enjoyed making that video, so it'd be cool if you could check that one out and some other videos on my channel. Like, there's loads of Pokemon Go stuff at the moment and things like that. There's one about hating Mr. Mime, so hopefully if you'd like that sort of thing, if you're really into the new Pokemon film that's going to be coming out, because Mr. Mime is horrible. So, yep, but that's everything of mine, all at Gorny7789. And please just come message us and we'll chat with you and stuff and play games and stuff and things. Yay. That's everything.
That is the episode then, pretty much. To close us out, I am going to be choosing Lifelight, which is the vocal theme for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Good God,
good
it was.
Choice. Good
what
choice.
A tune. Christ. Yeah, so with that, thank you so much for listening to the Nintendo Podcast System, episode 59. 10 more until the magic number. We hope you all enjoyed, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming!
Change the fact.